Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We give you thanks for what you have done so far for each and every one of us. You are a great God. You have done great things for us, and beyond we can understand. No mind has conceived, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Lord, I pray that as we gather together in your name to study your word, I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel, open our ear, that we can hear. And I pray, O Lord, that you are the only one who can do it. Circumcise our ear and our heart so that we can understand your word by hearing it. And if we study it diligently, and we won't forget what you have taught us today, and hide your word within our heart, and also circumcise our heart so that we can retain what we have heard, and so that in due time we put it into practice, and so that we will be blessed. And just like what our brother James, Apostle James, has taught us in James chapter 1, verse 25. But the man who looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Lord, that is exactly what we want. We want to be blessed in whatever we do for you. And I pray that you be with us. And I pray that the Spirit of truth lead us into all truth and enable us to be a doer of your word, not just be a hearer of your word and deceive ourselves. I'll hand the foreign time in your hand, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Heather, could you read that? We start with chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to 22.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus.
Hey, girls, come. One more here.
First Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, start with verse 1 again.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens, who has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila at the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Thank you. Chapter 4, verse 1. And this is the first time that I have seen Paul. He's so serious in what he's saying. It is a serious matter to preach the word. You know what he say? He say in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ Jesus, I charge you. I give you this charge. In other words, when he say that in the presence of God, I give you this charge, that means it is not Paul, really Paul, giving you this charge. In the presence of God, Paul gave Timothy this charge. That means it is God's idea. It is God who want Paul to be his spokesman on his behalf to say that. I'll put it this way, if I'm the ambassador for the Canada to go to any other nation, and when I say in the presence of Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, that means whatever I say is Stephen Harper's idea, it's not my idea. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Otherwise, he shouldn't have said in the presence of God. And in the same way, in the presence of Christ Jesus, that means it is God, it is Jesus Christ who gave this charge to Timothy. But Timothy won't hear that because he is timid. And he say, enough is enough. I have enough suffering. I give up to be a pastor in Ephesus. I throw the towel. I don't want to be a pastor. You understand? And if Paul saying that, Paul could have said in the latter part of verse 2, verse 1, I charge, I give you this charge, right? If Paul say, I give you this charge, then it's not as serious as in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ Jesus. And then how did he describe Christ Jesus? Jesus Christ is the one who will judge the living and the dead. I want you to write it down, right beside the word judge. I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 5. And then I read that to you. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. In here, I see it very clearly. Our Heavenly Father will not judge us. He has given the power of judgment, entrusted all judgment to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he wants us to honor Jesus Christ as if we honor God. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And the Jewish people, they don't honor Jesus Christ. They despise Jesus Christ, thinking that he's garbage. That means he dishonored God, because God gave him the power. You understand? They dishonor Jesus. Okay? You honor Jesus, that means you honor the Father who sent him. You dishonor him, that means you dishonor the Father, because the Father has given him the power to judge. And then in And then in Gospel of John chapter 12, I want you to write it down. Genesis chapter 12. And what did he say? Chapter 12, verse 48. There is a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. At first, in verse 47, as for the person who hear my word but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There's a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. And that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. I want you to write it down right beside the judge. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Chapter 5, 22 to 23, and then chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 47 to 48. In here. And in here you say, you see very clearly, when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he know who's going to judge us. He didn't say God is the one who's going to judge us. He said in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? It is Jesus Christ. Because God had given the power of judgment to Jesus Christ so that we honor Jesus as if we honor God. And Jesus Christ has the power and authority to judge the living and the dead. What's the reason? God is the God of what? God is the God of the living. But Jesus Christ is the God of the living and the dead because he died and he resurrected. And in view of his appearance and his kingdom, two things will definitely come. Jesus' second appearance and his kingdom. His kingdom come. You remember the Lord's Prayer? What did the Lord's Prayer say? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You remember that? Your kingdom come. God's kingdom, Jesus Christ's kingdom will definitely come. I want you to write it down right beside his kingdom. You write down Revelation. Chapter 11, verse 15. Heather, could you read that? 11:15, right beside his kingdom. Revelation 11:15. What did the Bible say?
The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever."
When the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord is God. And of his Christ, that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. That means his kingdom come. You understand? His kingdom will definitely come. So Paul saying that in view of his appearance and his kingdom, I give you this charge. In view of his appearance, when Jesus Christ appeared the second time, I want you to write beside his appearance, you write down Hebrew chapter 9, What will he do when he comes the second time? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Just as a man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time. In view of his appearance is mean not the second, not the first coming. His appearance means the second coming. He will appear, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So right beside his appearance, you write down Hebrew chapter 9, 27 to 28. So in view of his appearance, what does it mean? In his appearance a second time, Jesus Christ is not going to bear sin anymore. He come once is to bear sins, to die for us, right? Second time is to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. What kind of salvation he's talking about? Anybody knows? When he comes the second time, what kind of salvation he's talking about? Not the salvation of the soul, it's the salvation of your body. I want you to write down to bring salvation right beside Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. I want you to write down Romans chapter 8. You got to understand that there's two kinds of salvation. First of all, it's the salvation of your soul. And secondly, it's the salvation of your body. You remember the Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, that psalm. He restores my soul. That's the salvation of your soul. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Verse 20, verse 23. Let me read that to you. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit. When do we have the first fruit of the Spirit? When we first believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit come upon us, we have the first fruit of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption means the salvation of our body. 8:23. Okay? That is the, we wait eagerly for our adoption as son. That is the redemption of our body. 8:23, I want you to write down to bring salvation. What kind of salvation you talk about? It's not the salvation of your spirit and soul. No, it's the salvation of your body. You write down right beside that salvation, you write down Romans 8:23. And I want you also write down salvation, that salvation. I want you to write down 1 Peter. Peter talk about the same thing. 1:5, 1:9. 1:9 is talk about the salvation of your soul. Your soul was restored. And then 1:5 is the salvation of your body. Verse 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last time is in his second coming. In his second coming, our body will be redeemed. The salvation of our body. And let me explain to you what does it mean by salvation of our body. I talked to Joshua yesterday. I went to the funeral home. And Joshua told me this is the second time he attended the funeral. service, Joshua. And he said, the first one is for Esther, my daughter. This is the second one, Grandpa. And the salvation of body, what does it mean? When Jesus Christ second coming, and I go to the funeral home, I drove by my daughter's graveyard last night, very dark. And first time around, I can't find it. And second time around, I try to find it. On my way back, I find it. And that's why I'm giving you the illustration. And I believe my daughter's body has already been decayed. But my Lord Jesus Christ has the power to turn the decayed body to be a spiritual body. Mortal body to immortality. You understand? And I believe maybe there's only a little bit of flesh, the rest is just bone. Right? But the Lord can turn it around and give her a spiritual body. When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, my daughter will be resurrected. And then if I still living, when I hear his calling, my body will be changed, become a spiritual body. Where does it say? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Peter knows that we have two kinds of salvation. The first kind of salvation is the salvation of your soul. That's the work of Jesus Christ in his first appearance, in his first coming. The second kind of salvation is when he appeared the second time. You know what did he say? In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin. To bear sin, that means so that your soul can be saved, right? In his second coming, he's not going to save your soul. If your soul wasn't saved in his second coming, you go to hell. In his second coming is to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That means those who has already believed in him. That means their soul has been saved, now waiting for the salvation of the body. Adoption as son. Then we have a spiritual body. A spiritual body, a powerful body. Okay, we will ascend to heaven. Do you understand? Tell you where do I get that information? You write it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. I declare to you, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now that I have flesh and blood, I cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But my daughter has the perishable body, and she cannot inherit the imperishable until has been changed. Verse 51, listen, he say, listen very, very carefully. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, not everyone will die. I want you to write down Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is destined that all die, but in here it says not everyone will die. So this is a specific revelation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is special revelation. And no, Hebrews 9, 27 is a general revelation. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. But in here, 15:51, I tell you a mystery. We will not all die. We will not all sleep. But we will all be changed. What does it mean by all be changed? 52, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. My daughter body, if I dig up the grave, she has a perishable body. When Jesus Christ come back the second time, the dead, Esther, will be raised imperishable. From perishable to imperishable. That's the kind of change she has to go through in order to inherit the kingdom of God. Because the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The kingdom of God is imperishable. And we will be changed. 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. We are dying, so that's why we call mortal being, we are dying. Okay? Sooner or later, we all will die. So the mortal with immortality. Immortality means we will never die. We are dying now, unless Jesus Christ come back. Okay? If Jesus Christ come back now, we are Christian. We have believed Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. What happened? Our mortal body will be clothed with immortality. Verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. What is the saying saying? Death has been swallowed up in victory. In Jesus Christ's first coming, he bears sins. So that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Talking about the soul. Okay? Will not perish, but have eternal life. Talking about the salvation of your soul. Although our soul has been saved, but our flesh and blood body are dying. We have a mortal body, right? Does that make sense? The flesh and blood body is a mortal body. And when Jesus Christ comes back the second time, this mortal body will be clothed with immortality. Our body will be changed. Our body will be changed. That is 8:23 Romans saying, the adoption of his sonship. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he will never die. When the mortal body clothed with the immortality, our body will not die. Then we are adopted as his son. That is the salvation of your body. Does it make sense? Do I make myself clear? Etta, tell me what I have said. Two kinds of salvation.
One's the salvation of your soul.
The other one?
And the salvation of your body.
Salvation of my body, what does it mean by salvation of my body?
That means that when Christ comes back, if we have gone to sleep, that will be renewed.
Will we die anymore?
No.
We won't die anymore, just like Jesus Christ. Okay. Which one is in his first coming? Salvation of the soul or salvation of the body?
First one?
Yeah, in the first coming. In Jesus Christ's first appearance.
Soul.
Soul.
Yeah.
When will we have salvation of our body?
When he returns the second time.
Second time. Does it make sense? So that's why when we go to funeral home, as long as this brother or sister are Christian in Christ, then we know that we will see them second time. But with a new body. But when Jesus Christ comes back the second time, who will be raised from the dead first? Is the dead one, like Esther. And then our body, mortal body, will be clothed with immortality. Then we will be raised up together. Where does it say? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Heather, could you read that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18.
Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of
men. Who fall asleep, that means who die. You remember that Paul saying that I give you a mystery, not everyone will fall asleep. That means not everyone will die. Because if Jesus Christ comes back now, some people has passed away, but a lot of people are still alive, right? So not everyone fall asleep. In 1551, 1 Corinthians, but in here, Paul say, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, okay? Or
to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope.
What kind of hope are you talking about? The hope of?
Eternal life.
Resurrection. Right? The hope of resurrection. So if we have the hope of resurrection, the salvation of the body, we won't grieve. Wow. We feel sad that we don't see that our friend, but we are not to grieve like the rest of man that who has no hope, right? 14.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
Now, I want to circle the word though, especially in Chinese, you better change it. The Chinese translation in verse 14 is not so good. 但是我们若信耶稣死而复活那已经在耶稣里睡了的人神也必将他不是他他们神也必将他们与耶稣一同带来 Because in the original language, same as in the NIV, those, it's not that. Okay, so that we believe that God will bring with those who have fallen asleep with who has fallen asleep in him. God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Who are they? Their soul has been saved. What happened when their soul has been saved? Do you remember what happened when Jesus died? What did he say? Father, I give you my spirit. You remember Stephen when he died? What did he say to Jesus? Christ Jesus, I give you my spirit. When we die, the spirit depart from our body, and our body will be decayed, perishable. But the spirit is with Christ, right? When Jesus Christ come back the second time, he's going to bring our spirit back to reunion with the body. But that body, from perishable, going to be clothed with imperishable, a new body. And then the spirit get into the new body. Then you have a resurrection. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What did I say, Sally? When you die, where's your spirit?
It goes to heaven.
Go to heaven. And what happened when Jesus Christ comes back the second time?
Your spirit will come down and then goes into your body.
Old body or new body?
New body, the immortal body.
Immortal body. Okay. Yep. Imperishable body. Okay? Good. Say that 14 again. We believe.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Who will rise first?
Dead in Christ.
The dead in Christ will rise first. Not the dead will rise first. The dead in Christ. A lot of people die not in Christ. They won't be resurrected at this time. Okay? But the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who believe in Jesus Christ when he died, they will be resurrection. Okay? When they hear the trumpet call. And after that, what happened?
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
So who will be changed first? Who will be changed first?
The dead in Christ.
The dead in Christ? Who will be changed? Who will be changed second?
People who are still alive.
So according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what kind of changes occur? What did Paul say about the dead in Christ? What did Paul say about their body? What kind of term did Paul use? I give you a choice. Perishable or mortal? Which kind of word Paul used for those who are dead in Christ? Sally? Mortal mean what? Dying.
Yeah.
I give you a choice. Two choices. Perishable or mortal? The dead in Christ.
The perishable?
Perishable. Because they're decaying already. Mortal mean it's still flesh and blood. But you are dying. You are weaker and weaker day after day. You understand? So, the dead in Christ, Paul using the term perishable. And God using his mighty power to change the perishable to imperishable. And what about us? The one who has flesh and blood but believe in Jesus Christ. What kind of term did he use? Perishable or mortal? Mortal. And how did he change the mortal? Did he change the mortal to imperishable or mortal to immortality?
Mortal to imperishable.
Mortal to immortality. Oh. Mortal mean we are dying. Immortality mean we will not die. Mortal body is the description of those you are living. You have flesh and blood, and you believe in Jesus Christ, but you are dying. When Jesus Christ comes back second time, you're still alive, but you'll have a mortal body, and your body will be changed. So, which one will change first? The perishable will change first, or the immortal body will change first? Perishable will change first. The dead in Christ will change first. And then will be changed. Okay? And then after that, we are sent to heaven together. Now, I give you a lot of description regarding that. So go back. 2 Timothy. So in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearance, his appearance means the second appearance, and his kingdom, I give you this charge. It is a very serious charge. Do you agree? What kind of charge did he give it to Timothy? Verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Timothy wanted to give up not preaching anymore. Not preaching the word. You know why? Because when he preached the word, He faced persecution. He faced persecution. And yet Paul encouraged him by saying that the persecution I endure, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In chapter 3, verse 12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Every time when Timothy wanted to preach the word, and he faced persecution. But Paul saying this, he wants Timothy to be to fear God and to fear Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, instead of fearing man. When you preach the word, man thinking that you are his enemy. Just like what Paul saying in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. What did Paul say? Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? By preaching the word. Because Timothy thinking that he's making too many enemies already. He stopped preaching the word. He didn't want to suffer anymore in Christ Jesus. But Paul charged him. I give you this charge in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ Jesus. In view of his appearance, he will appear for sure, second time. And his kingdom will come. And he will judge us. He will judge the living and the dead. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you will be judged. And I give you this charge. Preach the word. Fear God instead of fear man. Because if you fear man, God will judge you in the future. If you fear God, and God will honor you, you may face that. Face persecution from human being, but it's okay. So that's why Paul saying what he's saying. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. What is in season? You think it's the right time? It's in season. Out of season. You think it's not the right time? Have you ever think, you know, to preach the word to your friend? I thought, I don't think today is the right time. You know what? But you know what? Paul saying that preach the word even out of season time. Okay? You think it's out of season. You still have to preach the word. Don't let your mind to guide you. Let the word of God to guide you. I want you to write it down right beside out of season. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. For we live by faith, not by sight. Out of season. You know, we saying, wow, now is not the good opportunity to share that. Because he won't believe in it. You think he won't believe in it? No. At that time, he believed. You know, I just come back from a house from a senior, 90-some-odd years old. The first time I went to his house, I see the cross with Jesus Christ on it. And I don't know what is his response. I just invite him to go to a church last Sunday. And he did go, right? Remember that 90-some-odd years old lady? Today I go back to his house. I say, you know, I ask him to read the Exodus chapter 20, the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible clearly stated that we are not supposed to make any idol. And I see that Jesus, that figure in the cross is not really Jesus, it's an idol. And chapter 20, verse 4, all the way to verse 6, this is what the Bible says. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I say, that figure that Jesus figure is not really Jesus, an idol in the form of anything in heaven. Anything in heaven you're not supposed to make. And I asked her, do you mind if you use a hammer and use a screwdriver to separate the cross from that figure Jesus? She said yes. And I gave it to Afan. Afan go out to the sidewalk. He tried to just crack the Jesus out of the cross, and he cracked the cross. And he stand in the door and they not come in. He's afraid that the old lady upset with him. I say, what is that? Oh, I see the cross broken. Then I take the whole thing. I ask the grandmom, hey, now we crack it. What do you think? He say, okay. Now we just throw it to the garbage. You understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure in your house you don't have a cross with Jesus on it. Make sure when you buy a necklace, you don't have a cross with Jesus on it. We believe in Jesus Christ, but we don't make the image of Jesus in any form. You understand? That's idol worship. Catholic Church like to do that. We don't follow that. The Lord Jesus we believe has already ascended to heaven and enter into our heart. It's not on the cross. He has been resurrected on the third day. You understand? So, Holly, where's Jesus now?
In our heart.
Where else?
In heaven.
Yeah. So it's not in the cross, right? The one in the cross is not Jesus, right? That's right. And that lady, she's very happy. So, and I asked her, do you pray? I don't know what kind of Christian she is. She said, oh, I pray every day. So then I want you to pray. Pray for us. So she asked the Lord to bless us, coming and going. Oh, then I lay hand on her and I bless her. I said, teach you tomorrow. She said, yeah. We cracked that Jesus on the cross, you know. It's a clay, you know. It's not Jesus. Don't make Jesus with a clay, with mud. You understand? Jesus Christ, the mighty God, how can we crack him? That means idol. It's man-made. We're not supposed to make that. And yet that's what the human being is doing it, okay? Thinking that they're worshiping God. And that's why the Bible says, preach the word. I preach the word. I just say, you know, I know that I take the risk of being kicked out, you know? I say, crack it, you know? That old lady, he wanted to crack it himself too. He tried to prize it with screwdriver, you know? Because it's one piece, you know. It's not like they nail it together on the wood. That the whole thing is clay, you know. And Afan, you know, he just cracked the hand on both hands. Crack it one more time and crack the cross, you know. He didn't crack the body, you know what I mean? Because it's glued together, you understand? Oh, man. And then we throw it into the garbage. I don't know what happened when the children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren come and say, where's the cross? You know, there's a long story to tell, right? So, I pray that the Lord can spare us. Preach the word. I tell you one thing, whatever the Bible you understand, the word of God that you understand, something that the Lord is not pleased with it, you just preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. We correct her thinking, her way of doing it, by hanging the cross with Jesus on it. We say that's no good. That's idol worship. We Christians don't do that. We encourage her to take it away. And she accepts that. And with great patience and careful instruction. And that's what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. Verse 3, for the time will come when man will not put up with sound doctrine. I want you to mark it down in here. Make sure we won't fall into this kind of situation. For the time will come when man will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers, a great number of teachers to say what their itching ear want to hear. I don't need to listen to Pastor John. I can listen to Pastor Peter. I can listen to Pastor Paul. Because they say things that they like to hear. Time will come. And you will see. When you go to a church, there's a lot of pastors, and there's going to be a different group. Oh, I belong to this pastor, and you belong to the other pastor. That's not what the Bible wants us to be. You understand? But that is going to be happen soon. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, especially those pastors who want to preach the word, preach the truth. Very likely they will be kicked out. Are you ready to be kicked out, Daniel? So what happened? Let's say when you are 22 years old, you graduate with a university degree, and then you go to be a pastor for 2 years. After 2 years of honeymoon, then you are 24, and they kick you out. Where are you going to go?
Basement.
Basement of whose house? Sally's house? Well, you are 22, you're 24, sorry, maybe 26 at that time, right?
28.
Well, probably she has an apartment already.
No
basement. Apartment has no basement. So I don't know where you can go. So you tell me, well, what are you going to do if you get kicked out from the church? Are you going to commit a suicide? Kill yourself? Or are you going to give a call to Pastor John? By the time you're 22?
Oh, 26.
John is, by the time you're 22, I don't know how I will, I may be, 70. I pass away already.
70.
70?
Only 10 years.
Oh, really? You're now 12 years old?
You should still be alive.
I should be alive? So you're going to come and see me and you're going to cry over my shoulder? So what you're going to do is just tell me. So that I know how am I going to write you a letter? Just like Paul writing a letter to Timothy. So what are you going to do at the age of 24 after 2 years of ministry? And you preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. You preach the very word of God. And they treat you as an enemy. They kick you out. They have a vote in the membership meeting. They kick you out. Because my itching ear doesn't like to hear the sound doctrine that you preach. I like to hear some other pastor. When you get kicked out, what are you going to do?
Go to another church.
Go to another church? People are going to say, well, what kind of credential you have? You preach the word? I don't need the word. I like to hear story.
Start your own church.
Eh?
Start my own church.
You start your own church? Okay. Tell me... Are you telling me you left Apostolic Bible Church? Huh? What's the matter with you? Hey? You mean Apostolic Bible Church kicked you out? The people has been changed? You mean Holly and Molly?
Holly and Cindy.
Holly and Cindy kicked you out? You don't like him? You don't want him to be a pastor? Yes or no? How old are you when he's 22?
10 years.
22.
How old are you at that time?
I don't know how old he is right now.
So add on 10 years to your age.
10 years of your age now.
22.
You're 22 too?
Yeah.
So you tell me, you 22 years old and 2 years of ministry, you're 24. 24 years old, you have the courage to start another church. Who's going to go to your church? You're 24 years old. You're a young kid. You start another church? Oh, come on. You tell me, who's going to go to your church? Cindy, will you go to his church? He's 24 years old. Tall and handsome. Will you attend his church?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At least you have two members.
Where's two?
Wow, well, Holly like, too, oh, right? Holly at that time you're what? 23, right? 24. 24? So 24 probably is you working for 2 years already after graduate. Probably she can give you a tithing, but that's not enough for you to pay apartment. You still have no place to stay. Then what happened? Then you go back to your daddy and mommy and ask your daddy and mommy whether I can stay in your house, in a basement? Have you ever thinking of that? Hey? You know, a lot of pastors are thinking of that. So that's why they are so scared to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, because they are afraid that they will be kicked out. You know what? As long as you're going to stay in Apostolic Bible Church to be a pastor, as long as we are alive, you won't be kicked out. We encourage you to preach the word. We're going to give you the charge in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearance and his kingdom. We give you this charge. You preach the word. Okay? Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, we build and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, with sound doctrine. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ear want to hear. Looks like they are holy people. Oh, I love to hear sermon, but not from you, from other teacher. Then you know Jesus Christ will come back soon. That's what the end time is like. So you got to be prepared yourself for that. They will turn their ear away from the truth. When you tell the truth, you become their enemy. They turn aside to myth. Verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, discharging all the duties of your ministry. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Keep your head in all situations. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up. Endure patience. Endure hardship. And do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. Okay? It will be very, very difficult. I've seen there's one pastor in the Southside Church when he was kicked out, and now he didn't want to be a pastor anymore. He got a secular job. I see a pastor was kicked out in Red Deer, and he did not want to be a pastor anymore. And I see a pastor in the West Side. He was kicked out, and then he get a job in Toronto, and he kicked out again. And I don't know where is he going now. It's very difficult. So you really need to have the power of God. You understand? That's why Timothy wanted to give up. And Paul write him the letter, 1st and 2nd Timothy, encourage him to be back. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly We study the truth. We preach the truth. We preach His word. And yet people do not want to hear the word. Who are they? They are so-called Christians. So you have to start from a small group to build up, to train them. It's difficult. No easy way. Okay? Most of the Christians, they like to hear story. They say, I like to hear practical story. But in fact, they don't want to hear the truth. Okay? So, let me ask Sally, what are you going to do if you see at least two brother get beat up?
Help him.
How?
Buy
him some gifts, chocolate.
Provide him with a place to stay and his needs, take care of his needs.
Oh, now you're all set. You better pray that these two sisters.
No, just one. I didn't say that.
Oh, you need to. I want to hear and the two. Okay.
I'm just going to beat them up.
I'll phone Sally. Hey, Sally, Daniel needs your help.
And then.
Come get him.
Oh. Oh. Okay, now. Are you going to support him to go to his church to listen to his sermon? I want you to, when you listen to his sermon, I want you to remember what I have preached. And if he is not up to snuff, he tried to please Sally to give, make sure that I please Sally because Sally is going to give me good gifts. He may buy me a Toyota Camry. You listen to his sermon carefully and discern whether he tried to please you. Okay? If he's not preaching his word, you give him a call. Remember what Pastor John said? Right? Preach the word. Preach the truth. Be prepared in season and out of season. Right? Endure hardship. Right? Correct. Rebuild and encourage. Right? Don't just encourage. Try to please people. Do not rebuild people. Do not correct people. Even though you see a lot of brothers and sisters, they look like they're devoted Christians and they have the cross in every room, and but they have Jesus' image in the cross. What do you say? That looks good. What will you say?
Hammer time.
Hammer time. How? Well, you say hammer time, you say, well, kick out time too. Bank check time. I'm not going to give you a paycheck. And if fire you, we're going to have an emergency membership meeting. And then when Ed hear about that, he said, you know what? My younger brother in deep trouble now. Hey, I want to hear what Ed. Ed, what would you do? You just deserted him?
Oh, no.
No, I'll listen to his sermons and see why he got kicked out.
And then, well, I tell you, you don't need to listen to his sermon why he get kicked out. Because most of the Christians, they like to hear what the itching ear want to hear. They gather around him, the teacher, not preaching the truth, but preaching the story. Yeah. You know that. And this fellow preached the word. And now, just like Timothy, get kicked out. Get beat up.
But I need to check for myself.
Oh, you got to check for yourself. Okay, what happened if you preach his word and get kicked out? So what are you going to do?
Then I'll go to his church.
You go to... Oh, you...
Well, if his for, word, for all if this his year, word
for all this year, you're
word.
Not going to his church?
Oh, I don't...
Cardboard box.
No, but if he leaves and he starts another church, then I'll go to that church.
Oh,
if
okay.
He's preaching God's word.
Okay.
Only if.
Don't okay. Be in your house.
Hey, what do you say?
Don't worry, it'll be in her house.
You'll be in her house?
She'll be at mom's house.
No, the worship.
Huh?
The worship will be at her house.
In her house? Oh.
We'll see.
Wow. Then you better pray hard. that she has a godly husband allowing you to be in their house, okay? Because she's going to be alone, not going to be alone making that kind of decision. She's not going to be single all wrong, you know, just for your sake. You know, she's going to get married, right? You're going to pray that your brother-in-law will be a godly man, right? Willing to open up the house for worship. Just like Aquila and Priscilla, right? Oh, wow. It will be interesting. I want to see what will happen 10 years from now. I just really want to see that. Yeah. 10 years from now. I tell you what, 10 years from now, the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta will be very, very funny. I don't know what will be like. But I pray that. I pray that. You know, we have four churches, right? One church will be ministered by you, hopefully. How old is Christopher 10 years from now?
19.
Oh, man, 19. And Joyce?
It's going to be 31. No worries. God will provide.
We'll see. Will you still attend our church, Cindy?
I don't know.
You don't like us? We like you so much. We'll miss you. We don't see you, you know?
Call you every day.
Yeah, we're going to call you every day, you know? You're going to move away from Edmonton?
Change
run away
there.
From us? Holly? Will you go to our church? Will you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Unfortunately, in verse 4, it's scary, you know. They will turn their ear away from the truth. A Christian church will do that. So that's why so many Christian churches are dying. They turn their ear away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you, as a pastor, keep your head in all situations and endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And let's hear what Paul says. I am already being poured out like a drink offering. He knows his time is up for departure, and the time has come for my departure. I want you to write it down right beside the word departure. This is a very unique word. Paul, knowing that his time of leaving the world, and Jesus know the same thing. Luke chapter 9. In the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say? 9:30-31. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appear in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure. Moses and Elijah spoke about the departure of our Lord Jesus Christ from this world, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. I want you to write down 9:30-31, right beside departure. Luke 9:30-31. Paul saying that, chapter 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure, and I have fought the good fight. When Paul, knowing that he's about to leave the world, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want you to remember this word by heart. In verse 7, Paul did not say it when he was young. He only said when he knew that the time has come for his departure. That means he didn't have to preach. He didn't have to fight the good fight anymore. He didn't have to preach the word. Preaching the word like fighting the good fight. You don't go to the place that you want to go. You go to the place that the Lord wants you to go. That's why Paul said, I have finished the race. I run that race and I finish it. And I kept the faith. He believed in God when he was young, in chapter 9 of Acts. And he's still believing when he's in prison, when he suffered for Christ. He kept his faith. You understand? This is the kind of belief that we believe. And verse 9. Now there is in store for me, after he run the race, after he fought the good fight, after he kept the faith, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not now, on that day, in the judgment day. In his second appearance, when his kingdom come. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. His appearance is his second appearance. In his second appearance, it got nothing to do with bearing the sins of ours, but regarding the salvation of our body. And we will be rewarded. And I'm very happy that Paul is saying that he's not the only one. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, he said, but also to all who have longed for his second appearance. You know what? When will you long for his second appearance? Unless you have fought the good fight, and you have kept the faith, you have run the race. If you haven't done that, if you haven't finished the race, haven't kept the faith, haven't fought the good fight, you can't say, I long for his appearance. When you finish all the assignment, finish all the quiz, you do a good job, then I long for what? The final exam. You're not preparing for it, say, oh, I pray that, you know, I pray. I remember, you know, when I was in high school, I'm a lazy guy. You know, what did I pray, Sally? I pray that the teacher gets so sick he can't go to school, so that I don't have to hand in the assignment, because I'm late. I don't even know that I have to hand in the assignment until I go to school. I realize that I'm not prepared for it. You understand? Now I find out a lot of Christians, they don't want Jesus Christ to come back anytime because they're not prepared. When you have fought the good fight, finished the race, have kept the faith, you say to Jesus, I'm ready for your second coming. Get ready every day. Remember Matthew chapter 25? You remember the 10 virgins? 5 with lamb and with oil. They are called wise virgin. And 5 with lamb but without oil prepared in the jar. They are foolish virgin. What happened to those who are not prepared? What happened to those who hasn't fought the good fight, hasn't kept the faith, hasn't finished the race? They're not ready for his second coming. And the crown of righteousness, the Lord will not give it to him. He will be disqualified. Not only that, he will be shut out from the door. He cannot even enter into the kingdom of God. Let's hear what God's saying in Matthew chapter 25. Listen carefully. for those people who just have the lamp that doesn't have the oil in the jar. So what happened? They go and purchase it. Verse 11, later the other also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. What does it mean by Jesus said, I don't know you? I want you to write it down, right beside, I do not know you. Write it down, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, 7:23. I do not know you. That means you go to hell. 7:12. I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Right beside 7:12, you write down 7:23. I'm sorry, not 7:12. It's 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 12, you write down 7:23. Then I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. So what did the Bible say? Do we have to be prepare ourselves to see our Jesus for his second coming? We better prepare. Edda, could you read that, the story? Matthew chapter 25, 1 to 13. Listen very carefully, okay?
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Now I want to stop here and ask you the question. What is the reason the foolish virgin did not prepare oil in the jar? What is the main reason why they did not prepare oil in jar along with their lamps? Daniel, based upon 25, 1 to 13, what's the reason they don't prepare?
Because they're foolish.
Wow. I know they're foolish. Other than foolish, what's the reason why they don't prepare ahead of time?
Because they don't know him.
They don't know Jesus? Yeah, they don't know Jesus. They're foolish. No question about that. But the answer is not enough. What else?
Because they don't know the day of the hour.
They don't know the day of the hour. You mean they say they don't know the day or the hour? Or do they know the days or the hour?
They do not know.
They do not know, but they think, do they know? So what do they know?
They know nothing.
They know nothing? No, that's not good enough, the answer. So, Sally, do you know the answer? What is the reason why the foolish virgin did not prepare oil in jars along with their lamps?
Because they weren't ready for his coming. Like, they weren't...
They weren't ready?
Yeah, they,
what's the reason why they weren't worthy?
They want do what they want to do by themselves.
I'll give you some hint. In 13, They think what? What do they think? Based upon the warning in 13.
They think they know the day and the hour.
They think they know the day or the hour. They thought, no, I don't think the Lord will come at this day. I don't think the Lord will come in this hour. I got a lot of time to prepare myself. Right? But Jesus said, keep watch, man. Because you do not know the day or the hour. They thought they know the day or the hour. They thought they are wise. In fact, the one who thinks he is wise is the foolish one. Does that make sense? Now a lot of people say, no, based upon my understanding of the scripture, I don't think now Jesus Christ come back. Maybe another 10 years from now. I got a lot of time to prepare myself. Does it make sense? But what did Jesus say? Keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. Right? They're not being alert. They don't keep watch. They thought they know. Now is not the time. Jesus Christ come back. It's a long time. What else? There's some other thing. You got to see that. If you don't see that, you're not going to be prepared, man. Based upon the answer. Verse 10. The answer is in the scripture. What make them foolish? In verse 10. Verse 10. Daniel, do you know the answer in verse 10?
That they went to buy the oil.
They went to buy. So why they went to go and buy the oil make them foolish? What do they think? In verse 13, they think they know the day or the hour, right? But in fact, they don't. Right? Secondly, they think. What do they think? Do you understand?
Not really.
Not really. You better write down when I give you the answer, okay? You circle the word 13, there's one reason. So, Sally, do you know the answer? Mm-hmm. Based upon verse 10? What do they think? Hey, you say, gee, when Jesus say that you are foolish virgin, they don't think they are foolish virgin. They think they are smart virgin. Don't ever think that they, hey, you know what? When Jesus say that you are wise virgin, in worldly upon the will, they are foolish one. When Jesus say you are wise virgin, that means in the sight of the human being, the worldly upon the will, they are the foolish one. Do you understand? Now based upon verse 10, what's the answer? They think what?
They think they are wise.
They think they are wise? What else? Based upon verse 10. Holly, do you know the answer in verse 10? Cindy?
They think they have a lot of time.
Off. They think they have a lot of time of what?
To get the oil.
Wow, she's a smart girl. Give me 5. Sadie. Good girl. They think, when I don't have enough oil in the jar, I can get it. Don't worry. I know where to get it. When I need it, I'm a smart guy. I know I can get it quick. He think he can get it. But the Bible say, while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgin who are ready went in with Jesus to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And then the third reason, the foolish one thinking that, in verse 11, what do they think? What do they think? Etta?
What's the question again?
In verse 11, mm-hmm. What do they think, the foolish virgin?
That they think that when they finally get the oil and they come back, that the door's still going to be open.
Even the door is shut, they think the Lord's going to answer my prayer. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and I will find. Pray, and I will receive. Isn't it Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 saying? He thought he knows the Bible. He didn't know that. Oh, man. Matthew chapter 25. Later, the other also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. Verse 12. But Jesus replied, the Lord replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. He thought he knows the Lord. He's a merciful God. And not knowing that, the Lord become a righteous judge. That is the thing he didn't know. Oh man. Then you don't know God. God is not just a loving God. God is a righteous judge. So what have we learned? First thing in verse 13, what do they think? Verse 13?
That they know the day or the hour.
They think they know the day or the hour. Now is not the time. There's a long time away. Secondly, what do they think in verse 10?
They still have time to go out and buy oil.
They think, even though when Jesus Christ come, I can get into the door 5:59. Just 1 minute before, you know. You know what I'm trying to say? You remember the parable in Matthew chapter 22? Matthew chapter 20? 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 6 o'clock is the payment time. I still can get in at 5 o'clock. I don't want to get in so early, you foolish man. I'm a smart guy. I'm going to enjoy my life until 5:59. I know the time. I know the hour. That's just having a good time. Right? So in other words, the foolish one thinking that, he won't think he's a foolish. If he knows that he's foolish, he will repent. He still think what? He's wise, right? He think he get a lot of time. Even though when you come back, I get a lot of time to go and buy oil. When I come back, even though the door was shut, I can knock. And then the Lord Jesus will open the door. You know what? Why did he say that? Because from time to time, my God is so gracious, is so merciful. Every time when I'm in deep trouble, I pray to him, he answers my prayer. That's no exception. In today's day, he answers my prayer. In future day, he will answer my prayer to you. That's what he thinks. So that's why I make him so smart. He thinks he's wise, but he's foolish. One other. There's another one. The foolish virgin thinking that what? Matthew chapter 25. In verse 7. all the way to 9. What did the foolish virgin think? What did the foolish virgin think, Etta?
That they can use somebody else's oil.
I get a lot of good friends. You know, I know Pastor John. You know, I think he's going to give me. Hey, he's my pastor. Won't he give me something? Come on. Is my pastor going to help me? My elder going to help me? My deacon going to help me? You know, my good friend going to help me? My husband going to help me? My brother and sister going to help me? You know what I mean? He think he can find a way. No. The other person is going to say, it's not enough for both of us. You have to find your own. So you better remember this five. This four warning. Don't ever think you know the day or the hour. Don't ever think that you know you have a lot of time to go and prepare at that time. Because you don't have enough time. Now is the time, not future. Don't borrow tomorrow. Save for the rainy day. Now is the time. Does it make sense? Don't ever think you pray to God, God will answer you. Don't ever think you ask your friends, your classmate, your pastor, your elders, your deacons, or give a lamb to Pastor John. He will give me some. Pastor John say, "Wow, man, I just got enough for myself." You go and buy for yourself. So, what have you learned today? Daniel, do you learn anything today? Tell me, what have you learned?
That we should not pretend that we know the day or the hour, and that we have enough time, and also that when we do get there, the door will be closed, and no one else will lend oil.
When the door is closed, isn't Jesus Christ love us? Isn't it we are his sheep? He recognized our voice, he will open the door for us. What did he say? What do you say to the foolish virgin?
That you are not his sheep.
You are not his sheep. Because he tell you what?
Because he says that I don't know you.
So then what should I do when I read this parable? In the future, when you preach this gospel, what are you going to say to the congregation? So what should we do in order to change our life from a foolish virgin to a wise virgin? I mean in God's sight, not in human perspective. So what should I do?
You should prepare for his coming.
How do I prepare in his first coming? According to Paul's teaching in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. So in the practical term,
that we should bear fruit.
You bear fruit? But what did he say in 4:7?
I should fight the good fight and finish the race.
And what else?
And keep the faith.
Yeah. Be prepared every day. Because you do not know what happened tomorrow. Today, you do what's supposed to do. You know, I'm glad, you know, I go to that lady's house. You know, when Frank, your father, say, "Wow, we may have to knock on the door." And I don't think knock on the door is today what I should do. I go back to that lady, I say. And lo and behold, we encourage her. And Ming said, "Wow, I don't think she will come." You know, after last Sunday. And we visit her. We encourage you to dismantle the image of Jesus in the cross, Unfortunately, we cracked the cross. It's a clay. And she's not upset. The Lord bless us. And I say, tomorrow we're going to pick you up. She say, yeah. And then across the street, we visit her relatives. And I invite that lady. I share the gospel and I invite her to come. I don't know whether she will come or not next Sunday and next Saturday. We'll pray. And then somehow, when we go, so we're going to go to TNT. Okay, we go to TNT. We go together. And on the way, I met three other Christian lady. And she said she's going to come to our church next Saturday. You know, if I just go and knock the door, I don't follow the moving of the Holy Spirit, I won't see that three incident. And I think it's a divine appointment. The time we stop there, we say we got to go, right? And we meet that people. You think it's just by accident we meet that people? No, I don't think so. It's God's divine appointment. We got to be sensitive. We don't know the hour, the day. We don't have that much time. But I say to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready. Use me. And I finish my task today. I can say to the Lord, I have fought a good fight. I finished the race today. And I kept the faith. You want me to go? I go. Last Saturday, you remember that? I go to William Father in Law House, right? I preached the gospel. I did my job. I leave it to God. But if the Lord say, oh, didn't you know that I spoke to you through Kilam and say to you that, Pastor John, you're supposed to go to William's father-in-law. And I say, I don't feel like going. I don't know him. But I take it as if this is the word from the Lord to me. I go. And I see that. That's indeed the Lord spoke to me. But today when Frank tell me to, well, we have to go door to door and knock together last time, yeah. I said, well, my girl drive me and then we are never successful because we don't know much about this area. We're going to get lost. We don't have the GPS. Even worse, it will be wasting our time. We just go back to the place that we're supposed to go. We call the other sister, Wang Guliang, right? And she didn't answer the call. We think that as if this is door was shut for us this Saturday. I tell you one thing, the Lord wants to use us. The Lord arranged people so that we can meet them and share the gospel. Be prepared in season and out of season to preach the word. Do what the Lord wants you to do. And then we can say, yeah, we are ready. We are ready to see you. All right? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you encourage us, rebuke us, and correct us. Because we have our own evil thinking. We think we know the hour or the time or the day. We think we have enough time to go and buy oil. We think we get a lot of network, a lot of friends that can help me. We think our Lord Jesus Christ will answer our prayer at that time to open the door. No, all these things will not happen. For we think that we are wise, but in your sight we are foolish. Help us to be changed in our mind, in our action, so that what we do is in conformity with your teaching, so that we are all prepared to see our Lord Jesus. And Lord, I give you thanks for Pastor Paul and encouraging us with his wise word. And I pray that through today's teaching, and we can say that we have longed for your second appearance, because every day we are prepare ourselves. And help us not to see you empty-handed. And help us to shine for you as the lamb ready, trim and everything, and have oil in jar along with the lamb. so that we are ready to share the gospel, ready to witness for you, ready to do the work of an evangelist and preach your word. Lord, I pray that you encourage each and every one of us to do the right thing for you. And we give you thanks for allowing us to go to these various places that we see fruit. And we give you thanks for your encouraging us as we gather together in your name to pray. And I pray that you do the same to Key when you go to St. Albert and Simon and Carl and all that. And while we are serving in the north side, Lord, I pray that just like what Moses has prayed in Psalm 90, may the beauty of the Lord, our God, rest upon us. Remember the work of our hand. Yes, remember the work of our hand. May your word reveal to us. May your glory reveal to our children. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.